All right, Giants baseball coming up. Marty Lurie here with Evan Grant. And, folks, he's been on my show for many, many years, and I've known Evan. He is the beat writer for the Texas Rangers. He covers them for the Dallas Morning News. A week in the Bay Area for you guys, not bad.
For the guys, it's not been bad at all. They had an off day on Thursday. They all got to do typical touristy Bay Area things. The beat writers, however, we didn't do it the same way. All of us split things up this week, so I did not go to Oakland. I took my daughter to college because she's starting school. So I was in Austin Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but now I'm here and in really my favorite National League park. It's just always great to be in this park. I've loved it from the minute it opened and had nothing but great experiences here from covering Rangers Giants games and covering a World Series. It just never ceases to take my breath away.
Boy, nice to have Evan Grant with us. Coincidentally, this is a weekend, I guess they planned it this way, to celebrate the 2010 World Series, and a number of people are going to be coming back for that, and we'll hope to have a couple on our show. But when I talk about the World Series of 2010, what comes back to you, back to mind for you?
Yeah, from my perspective, it was, from the Rangers' perspective, it was simply this. It wasn't so much about what took place during the World Series. It was about getting there. This was a franchise that had never won a playoff series going into that year. And so the run through the American League's divisional series with the five-game win over Tampa Bay, Cliff Lee's performance against Tampa Bay, and the way Elvis Andrus ran the bases, particularly in Game 5, and then Neftali Feliz striking out Alex Rodriguez to clinch the spot in the World Series. Those were the big moments of that season. And in fact, the Rangers just opened what amounts to a glorified food court next to the ballpark, which is part of a bigger development. And they put a statue out there, and it's of Feliz and Benji Molina kind of jumping into each other's arms at that moment that the Rangers went to their first World Series. 2011, far more memorable for this club in a lot of ways and in some really heartbreaking ways. But I think the big thing about 2010 was just that this team actually made the World Series and their fans celebrated that.
Evan Grant with us, of course, we remember 2010.
I will say this, Marty, that the thing that does stand out from the Giants' perspective is just the overwhelming pitching from Kane and Bumgarner. It was and Lindskin. It was just an overwhelming performance, and you saw the start of a real what amounted to a dynasty for the Giants at that point.
Yeah, when I think about it, of course, as I said, Evan Grant with us, Dallas Morning News, I think of Vladimir Guerrero in the outfield and sort of knocking the ball around a little bit. And I think of Ron Washington winning a pennant and winning another pennant in 2011. Of course, we have Wash out here for so many years with the A's. Those two come to mind for me. And then I remember Cliff Lee saying that I was told, he's invincible. He's invincible. No one could hit Cliff Lee, especially in the playoffs. So Freddie Sanchez took care of that in the first game.
Yeah, and the Guerrero play in the outfield was an unfortunate moment for the Rangers, and it was one of those situations that AL teams find themselves in when they're playing in NL parks. Shouldn't have been in the outfield, but he had such a good year with such an offensive threat. Rangers felt that they needed him in the lineup, and as we always find out, that when you've got a weak link defensively, and it's hard to say Vlad is a weak link, but at that point in time with his knees and the way he moved, he really was, the ball tends to find you, and it did.
Boy, that's 2010, the World Series of 2010, so nice to have Evan Grant with us. Let's talk a little bit about this Rangers team. As you say, they have been in the Bay Area for the week. They played the A's interleague ball. I'll ask you one question about baseball today. There's so much is written. Scott Miller wrote a big article this week about quoting some older players and managers about what's wrong with the game. You've covered baseball for a long time. You're one of the icons, really, of Rangers baseball. How about the game, the state of the game, and watching the game and coming over here with an American League team and not having a DH?
Well, I will say one thing. From a media standpoint, the way we watch games, I think, has changed in some regards, particularly the print media, because we're writing more about issues than about what takes place on the field now. So I think that changes how you view the game. But I do feel like that there is an issue with the lack of number of balls in play. look, you can come out to the ballpark here and sit in this park and you know, as long as you don't have the bad wind swirling, it's just a lovely night at the ballpark. But to sit around for 3 hours plus and watch teams not have any action, to me, just kind of seems to defeat the purpose. And I don't know what the answer is to that. I don't know that it's banning shifts. I think it's more that teams have to adopt and exploit shifts. I do think that there's got to be some more steps taken to quicken up the pace of play and some tweaks to probably expedite the replay system and maybe get the replay system back into line with what the spirit of the idea was. But I do think that baseball faces a little bit of a problem right now because it's just not exciting. I ran into an old manager the other day in Arizona, a guy that I really respect, and his perspective was it's just hard to watch the game. So I think the athletes are better than they've ever been. I think the strength is greater than it's ever been. But it is there are a lot of games, particularly with this team. I mean, the Rangers are going to strike out 1,500 times this year. It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch that.
Yeah, boy, good analysis, and that's a good segue to my next question. Rangers strike out about 28% of the time. They get a lot of walks, second in the league in walks. They hit a lot of home runs, but in the American League, everybody does. But they're the three true outcomes, but they score a ton of runs, and you're going to have to be careful when you get people on base not to let one fly out of here.
Well, I will say that they have, since June 1, maybe a little bit later, they've made some significant improvements in their approaches at the plate, particularly Rougned Odor. He's playing really since the middle of June at an MVP caliber pace. You got Elvis Andrus back in the lineup about that time, and he has continued to do what he's done over the last 2 years, which is becoming a – I really think that, you know, the good comparison for Elvis is I've always thought that eventually he would be an Edgar Renteria-type player, and I think that's who he has become. Joey Gallo has improved his plate discipline a little bit. But this team as a whole – it took them 2+ months to kind of identify the strike zone, make adjustments to the strike zone, learn what pitchers were doing to them. And with the number of young guys that they have in this lineup right now, I think that goes a little bit with the territory, but it was ugly to watch. It's gotten better. Yeah. I think this team is on the upswing in terms of young position talent. Yeah. The big question for the Rangers is going to be for the future, where does the pitching come from?
Very good. Well, you know, sometimes the numbers don't tell the whole story because I'm looking at the numbers and I haven't seen them play that much, but the numbers give you a different story than what you just explained.
Oh, I mean, offensively for the last 2 months, they've been a very formidable club. You know, we have seen some... I don't want to say decline in Adrian Beltre's performance, but I think the injuries have robbed him of some power from the lower half. But you have seen improvement from a number of young players, and I think that's where the Rangers' foundation is going forward.
All right. Very good. Evan Graham with us. All right. We will see Martin Perez on Saturday. The Giants saw him a couple of years ago. He actually pitched well against the Giants, if I remember. And then Yovani Gallardo, who hits home runs against the Giants. Got to watch out for that. So what? And I know that the numbers of the pitching, starting pitching ERA, worse than the American League. What about these two guys?
Well, Perez has been really frustrating for the Rangers this year in particular. He's really kind of put away his breaking ball at least for the last three outings, so he's become a two-pitch pitcher. Because of it, he's not been very effective the third time through the order. I think going into his last start, he had the second or third worst third time through the order batting average in baseball. This is a guy who's still only 27 years old. The Rangers are going to face a decision on him on a contract option for this year. For next year, he's been very frustrating at times, but he's got stuff. And what he needs to do for the final month is probably show a little bit more conviction in that breaking ball. Work, regardless of what the results are, work with it and try and become, again, a three-pitch pitcher who has the ability to go deeper in games.
Okay. Now, Gallardo, I remember from the Brewers, I said he used to hit home runs against the Giants.
You know, Giovanni's been a really interesting story in that he had an awful year last year with Baltimore, I believe it was. Was released by Cincinnati early in the season this year, and has looked like very much like a pitcher in decline. But went to the minor leagues after he was released, signed a minor league deal with the Rangers, went to AAA Round Rock, and because of the pitch clock in the minor leagues, he really had to pick up his pace. And I think that pace helped him get in a better rhythm. And after he came back up here, he's been the same pitcher that we saw in 2015 when he was here, and that is that he's been really good for about as a five-inning starter, but he's not working nearly as slowly as he once did, and I think that has helped his effectiveness.
Right, interesting. That's going to be interesting. All right, you have a couple of former Giants here. They come back this weekend, Corey Guerin and Mike Moore. Mike Moore, more of the same, so to speak, of what we saw the last year. But Corey Guerin looked like he's settled in a little bit with the Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when the Rangers made this trade with the Giants, they basically, the whole purpose was to essentially buy Jason Barr as a prospect and start the whole process of adding pitching to their minor league system. And they've done a good job. Since July 1st, starting with that deal, they've added 13 pitchers through trades, minor league signings, waiver claims. So they've done a good job on that front. But Guerin has, and the idea with Guerin was let's take a look at him. He's arbitration eligible for next year. Maybe we can flip him. They had a lot of different ways they could go with Guerin, and what he has proven to them is that, particularly as a one inning pitcher, I thought maybe they would look at him a little bit more as a multi inning reliever. But he's just basically been a one inning guy. His changeup has been really effective, and I think they found somebody that they can certainly go into next year with as a key member of their bullpen. As far as Matt Moore goes, he never got on track. I do think that in the bullpen he's been a little bit more effective, but what I see from Matt Moore is I feel like I've seen just a guy who really questions his stuff at this point in time. I don't see a whole lot of conviction from him, and I think that more than anything has led to not being very effective with his pitches or his location.
Boy, great to have you on. Great. I missed you. Very good. I miss Ev. It was always great when we did the Ranger stuff, so I'm glad to have you on. So what year is this for your daughter at the University of Texas?
She's a freshman. She's the oldest just got through at the University of Arkansas, and he's working in Houston now. And so we had two graduations, a college and a high school graduation. We had one move out, and we had one move in. So it's been an eventful summer for our little family, but it's been great. We're really proud of them, and hopefully next year the older one will get a chance to take a couple road trips with me if his work schedule allows.
What's his major? What's he doing?
Oh, he was a business major, and he's working in commercial real estate in Houston, and he's gonna be a mogul, and I'm sure that at some point in time he'll be able to take care of me and the wife, because we're gonna need him to. So
that's a key to life. You just explained it. Ev, great to have you on as always. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Marty. Take care.
Very good. All right, that's Evan Grant, Dallas Morning News. More coming up in the Sports Leader.